Lightning.
Fire. Power of God or something.
He died for our sins.
That shall be his undoing.
Hey, what is going on here?
Shocking. Positively shocking.
Ah, fuck you.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Hey, come here.
Hi.
God damn it.
Okay, now, if by any chance I get, like, flustered, you know, when I'm hurling through space, and I pull the red one first.
Oh, man, you're gonna wind up looking like a well-done chili burger. They're gonna have to shove you into a coffin.
Fine. And fulfill your destiny.
You bastard. Drop dead!
I don't do requests.
You remember one thing. You screw up just this much, you'll be flying a cargo plane full of rubber dog shit out of Hong Kong.
I'm Larry.
Fuck off, Larry.
Hey, this is Dr. Vincent West, medical doctor. Real excited today. We've got John from John Diva and the Rockets of Love and their new album, The Big Easy, which comes out on March 17th. And John, thanks for taking the time to do this today. I appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So I'm looking at the Big Easy box set. That's what I'm looking at here. This is so cool. All kinds of fun stuff in here. When did you guys start recording The Big Easy?
Well, you know, we recorded last spring. We did start the songwriting like in the dark ages of January 22.
Okay.
In the middle of Europe, everything locked down was awful. And we had to dream ourselves away to a better future, which now finally arrives. And we started writing the songs and, you know, kind of went crazy about it because that was the only thing to do it. We like really got into it like teenagers. And then the production kind of melted into the songwriting from, let's say, March on, pre-producing, then recording the drums. And we were done by the end of June. So it was half a year between, let's say, the first songwriting and the end of the sessions. Then obviously it was mixed, but that was it. So it took us a bit more than half a year last year.
Excellent. And as far as what's different about The Big Easy as opposed to the past two releases?
Well, you know, I mean, whereas the first release is always, in a way, something you just do, because, you know, you don't know where that band will ever end up. And then suddenly you have a Billboard album in Europe. You're like, oh, right, that works well. And the second album, American Amadeus, was just something to cross some borders, you know, to reach back to the 70s, to do some songs you might expect on a David Lee Roth album, but on the B-side. So that was really, we're like pushing it to the extremes. And album number three, I think, is an album where a band recaptures their strength and minimizes themselves to the maximum they can do. And I had the feeling that our songwriting really is improving, that also we have an overall message if it comes to the lyrics, and that we reduced ourselves to the maximum, and that is John Diva right now. So it kind of was a conceptual work in that meaning that we needed something to reach for in dark times, and that put us back together after 10 years of intensive touring and everything else that a rock and roll band goes through.
It's incredible. I'm new to the band. Immediately fell in love with it. Some really great tracks on this record. I'm excited to actually go back and check out your back catalog. Like I said, I'm new to the band, but this is definitely in my wheelhouse. I love this stuff. As far as writing for you, is it difficult going and making record to record, or is it something, do you feel it just comes pretty naturally, just going record to record?
It comes naturally in a way that there is times where you want to perform and, you know, get the world to know what you have done, and then the other way around. So it's an on and off in a way. And last year and that might be the specific thing about it. We couldn't tour for our second album,
right?
And we directly went back to writing. So that it could have been a depressive moment, but we turned it into something positive. You know, probably just like a sad teenager growing up in Seattle where it rains all the time.
Sure.
You just have this little rehearsal room and you're like, fuck it, you know, I might as well just rehearse because everything else is so horrible out there.
Right.
And, but it does come natural, but every album is different. I mean, you grow older, you're more experienced, and you want to work on your craftsmanship or on your own experience of getting better in what you do. And this time, we really tried to focus on the songwriting more than on over exaggerating, because over exaggerating is something that is a synonym for John Deva. Obviously, we're a show band, we're a glamour rock band, but this time it was like, okay, let's try to write songs that work on an acoustic guitar and then blow them up with a sound.
Right, right.
But that might be the difference this time.
So for you, what are some of the standout tracks on the album for you?
I mean, it changes, but probably, you know, the title track, Big Easy, is a riff-driven, Van Halen-ish California anthem. It's just something that gives you a big fat smile if you just, like, you know, ride your convertible for the first time this spring. And at the same time, it has a really heavy groove to it and some sweet... sweet harmonics. So I love that song. At the same time, there is some songs that we haven't written that way before. Like Back in the Days is a melancholic, beautiful song about a past that probably every one of us in one way or the other can contribute to. Obviously, it's stories about small town boys and small town girls. While It Hard for Me, that's the last song on the album, is a very personal love song that made it because I really insisted on it. I insisted that my brothers of the band, you know, took that song and made it into their own, because at the beginning was just something that probably could have been on a Velvet Underground album or something, so it didn't really fit the band.
Sure.
But my guitar players turn it into something that is very John Deva-ish. So there's a couple of songs I could mention, even though there's another one, Boys Don't Play With Dolls. It's a typical bluesy rock boogie.
It's a great song.
Section. Yeah, there's a lot to experience.
As far as an album. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I think it works as an album perfectly. So it's hard for me at this moment to point out single songs, obviously.
I'll tell you what, man, it's a great rock record. Just going through the whole thing, I'm a big album guy as opposed to singles, and man, it's just got everything. It's a really, really well done record. I love it. As far as the production, did you guys work with a producer and a mixer on the album, or did y'all do it all yourself? Or
no, we have Michael, German Michael Voss. We have he originally blurs around the Scorpion guys, but he's much younger, and we did all our albums with him, and he's 10 years older than I am, so he's an expert, you know. He was already a young man in the 80s, so he knows it all by heart. He's an excellent guitar player and singer, and he somehow has the humor and the heart for it, and he takes that music damn serious, just like us. And you obviously could, you know, always, it's always easy to laugh about glam or hair metal or whatever you want to call it. And there's enough reason to it. But also to take it serious at the same time, that's a thrilling mix of emotions. And so he is somebody who helps us find the right way. And so he did the mixing as well, the producing and the mixing.
I can only pay you the compliment. I grew up in the 80s as well. I can't tell you how refreshing this record is. I'm so excited to go dig into your first two releases. I'm starved for this kind of music in America, John. Like, it does not exist. I can't, you know, tell you how wonderful it is to hear your band. There is only one other band, and this is super high praise to you, and I hope you take this as a compliment. Years ago, the first time I heard the band Heat from Sweden was how I felt when I listened to the Big Easy. I was like, wow, this is fucking awesome. These guys get it. This is really, really good music. And like I said, as someone that grew up in the 80s, I'm starved for this stuff, man. Like, you have put out a fabulous record.
Man, Vincent, honestly, you're breaking my heart. I'm very happy to hear that because it's just good to receive that love from the motherland, you know, and the U.S. is the motherland of that kind of music. And we've been working hard on that, and you know, we're strong and proud to do this. We've been doing this for 10 years. We played every small and bigger festival over here, mostly in Germany,
right,
and Europe, and we've been, you know, raising quite a crowd here.
That's so great.
So it's good to hear that there's experts that love that, and that they can see the dedication we're putting into that, and it makes me proud to make the third album now with that kind of band, and to see how the word spreads around. And I take this as a compliment, also the comparison with Heat. Thank you so much. I can appreciate that.
Yeah, man, because like I said, those guys get it. You guys get it. I see a lot of this stuff, and again, I'm not trying to be down on any other specific type of band, but there's very few bands that I've listened to when it catches my eye and I'm like, wow, okay, this record could have came out in, you know, in 88, you know, like this is what I love, you know, because I was the guy, not to get on a rant about this, but I was the guy that watched grunge kill all my music over here, you know, that I was into. So this record is like you giving me resuscitation. It's like you bringing me back to life. Like I love it, man. Like I said, I love the song craft and the whole fucking vibe of the album, the look. Maybe you guys get it. I don't know how to explain that, but some people get it, some people don't get it. But the tunes are there too, which is the most important thing. But you've got the look, the attitude, everything. It's the whole fucking package. It's I'm so proud to endorse this for you. It's a very rare thing when I see this, because there's bands I see that they try to do this kind of thing, and I'll have friends like, oh, check this out. It's like, I don't like that, you know. So this was like I said, when this kind of fell in my lap, and I apologize, forgive my ignorance, next time we talk, if you're willing to do it again, I would love to talk with you about the first two releases. I haven't got to dig into those yet, but I'm sure I'm going to love them as well. But this record is killer, man. Like, it really is. And like I said, there are people like me, and granted, we're older, but, you know, there are people like me that grew up with this stuff, that miss this stuff, and it seriously does not exist in this country at all. Unless you go see, you know, a band that was, you know, around in the 80s that has like one original member, and they play in a bar, and I'll go see them and give them some money, you know. But it's great to see young men like yourself doing incredible songwriting and keeping this genre alive, because I personally miss it to this day. So,
man, hands up, thanks so much, Vince. This really means a lot to me. Because, you know, as you know, you just start doing what you love, you know? I mean, we love this stuff so much. And it broke our heart when Kurt Cobain was blowing away the scene. Totally, you know? I mean, there was a short time where everything at the same time was possible, and then it all vanished. And that was my time, too. That was just like my way of music, and I miss the crowd as well, you know. You nowadays you go out and everybody looks so boring, and we try to, you know, kind of revive a scenery. And if you ever make it to a John Diva show, which I would love, there's a lot of people coming out, you know, average people, totally average people, you know. They come from the office, but they dress up, and it, no matter if they look good or ridiculous, they just feel that it's possible, that there's a space to to being glamorous, whatever that looks.
It's awesome. It might
look ridiculous, but, you know, people dress up. The girls dress up. They have big hair, and it's just lovely to see that. And if it's a carnival or not, it's just something special. It's something different. And yeah, again, I mean, this music means a lot to me, and I really revisit so many of these bands lately. I was listening to the early Tesla again, and, you know, I mean, it's so many great musicians and craftsmanship in that scene. And at the same time, I agree, you know, I would never ever go out and watch Mötley Crüe right now. You know why? You know, it's, they had their time, but I don't know, it's time to carry on the torch, and there's a certain energy and time to it. And I do have the feeling that in a very small range, of course, John Deva can take the torch right now, and we're happy to do it.
Absolutely, man, absolutely. So for you, are you from Germany?
Yeah, I'm a half breed. I got a German family. Kind of grew up in the States for a couple of years.
Oh, cool.
So I've been traveling.
Cool.
Yeah.
So when I was growing up, I really loved the band Kingdom Come. Do you like them, Lenny Wolf?
Oh yeah, oh man, he's a great singer.
Dude, that guy fucking rules, man. That's like some of my favorite stuff. Of course, obviously the Scorpions. But as far like what are some other influences for you, like some classic stuff like that I probably grew up on? Were you into Winger? Were you into Trickster? Were you into like, you know, what were some of the hair bands that you liked? Were you into some of that stuff?
Right. I mean, I come from the 70s, from the sound. I'm like a huge Thin Lizzy fan.
Greatest band to ever grace this planet.
Oh man, we need to have beer, man.
Yeah,
totally. I mean, when I stumbled about Thin Lizzy, I was like, how cool and how sexy can you be, and how great that is that this soul brother is doing rock music. How cool is that? So I mean, that I'm totally in love with that guy and all the Offsprings. You know, I mean, I kind of dig Gary Moore, but after a while it was just too British. I came from Purple and Whitesnake, so I followed Whitesnake into the 80s, even though it was, looking back now, pretty cheesy. But you know, he was a great
dude. When John Sykes worked with him, that band was the shit.
Oh yeah, that was awesome.
Dude,
was
he was really such awesome. A badass guitar player. Have you ever listened to Blue Murder, John Sykes' band that he did?
Yeah, dude,
first fucking album, that thing is fantastic. That's so good.
It really is. And you know, and then so I kind of followed the British path, and then for me Van Halen was just like something so different. It changed everything, because before that I was like, yeah, Ritchie Blackmore, and then suddenly it was Eddie Van Halen. I said, what the fuck, this is a different instrument. And it was so sunny, and it was so positive, and there was a smile and to it, and all the California attitude. It just, like, back in the days when I was 9 or 10 years old, that meant the world to me. And so I was really, and that kind of brought me to the States, you know, that brought me to America, to the American sounds. And there was, you know, everything that was big. I loved Cinderella. And back at the time, I didn't like the Leopards so much, but I really love them now. Mötley Crüe wasn't so much for me. Funny enough, I kind of liked Wasp. I don't know why anymore, but I did.
Dude, I'll tell you the most depressing story about Wasp. And again, I'm not trying to badmouth them, but my buddies went and saw them. All his vocals were pre-recorded on that tour he just did to the U.S.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
I know, I was just like... And see, it was depressing to me because I remember seeing them open for Kiss in 84 on the Last Command tour, and they blew Kiss off the stage. Like, they were fucking... It was awesome, you know? Like, this was like 1984. It was incredible. And we were going to go see them, and then it kept kind of getting back to me, and my buddy's like, dude, he's not singing. Like, it's like pre-recorded vocals. Like, the instruments were live, but his vocals weren't. And I was just like, oh, God. Like, see, that's just depressing to me. Like, I don't want to see that. It's like what you were talking about with Motley Crue. Like, I saw Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses when Guns N' Roses was, like, brand new. This was, like, 87, 88. The Girls, Girls, Girls tour. And then Appetite was what... And people were throwing stuff at Guns N' Roses. Of course, you know, Tommy had the upside-down kid on that tour and everything. And, I, you know, I loved him then, but Dr. Feelgood and stuff after that, I couldn't really do it. But like the Girls record back, I like them okay. But Guns N' Roses was great. We're actually going to go see them in September, my co-host and I. Hopefully you're going to go see them together. Okay. But
I just saw a documentary about them, and what I didn't know, you know, I mean, at a certain time, everybody was pro Slash, and, you know, Axl was bashed because he's such an idiot, and that might be true, but at the same time...
I love Axl Rose, man. I love him.
Yeah, and I really have to pay him respect because he's a great songwriter, he's a great singer, and he was... I mean, this idea of Use Your Illusion and to like really have a double album on number one and two of the Billboard charts, this is just a genius move. This is just great to do it, even though the material in the end, you know, they could have just made one record.
But sure.
The idea to be so crazy to do it. And what I was reading just the other day is that November Rain already was... He started writing that song in 82.
Yep.
I think Tracy Guns was somebody who referred to it saying, I know that Axl was playing it and he's just said it's not ready yet. And then they cut it from 20 minutes to 50 minutes to 9 minutes, the song that we know now. And even though it's in a way pathetic and beautiful at the same time, that's how it is. Axl Rose is both sides. And I mean, they changed so much and they, you know, it was really rough. And if you listen to Whitesnake, which I love, but to the 87 album, it's just over the top. It's so softish. And then you just have somebody like Guns N' Roses jumping in, and that gives back the punk rock to that music, the sleaze.
Sure.
And a great band.
I'll tell you something you may not know. So a few years ago, whenever they got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Axl was the only member that would not go and perform and accept the induction. His terms were, unless they put Thin Lizzy in the same night that they induct Guns N' Roses, he will not accept it. The other members can come accept it and everything, but, and I'm quoting him, they can go fuck themselves if they don't put Thin Lizzy into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So that is why I love Axl Rose. I think that's cool as shit. And I'll tell you another fun thing. If you ever get to go see them, he doesn't come on stage till like midnight.
Okay.
He literally makes people sit in there and wait till he feels like going on stage. It could be 11 o'clock, it could be 10 o'clock, it could be 9 o'clock, but more than likely it's going to be midnight. And every time I've seen the man, it blew me away. I went and saw him on that Chinese Democracy thing about 10 years ago, and it blew me away. I was like, wow, this was incredible. This was when he had like Buckethead on guitar, and I think Duff was the only original member on stage with him, even though he didn't play on the Chinese Democracy record. But dude, it was incredible. Like I love the guy. I love that he's a showman, that he takes himself so seriously. People make fun of him because of his weight and all that stuff. The guy still sounds great. He's a hell of a singer. I love him. It's like your record, man. It's very special music to me, and it's locked in a special place in my heart. So when someone achieves it, and again, to go back to your band, I cannot thank you enough for what you guys are doing and the type of music you're doing and the attitude you bring with it, and it's the whole fucking package. And I'm sorry I went on a rant about GNR.
No, I mean, this is lovely. I mean, this moment with Thin Lizzy, I'm just gonna put this in my heart right now, and I will. I'm just loving Axl for that. That's a beautiful story. I didn't know it, and so you know, as I said, I could go on with that for hours and hours. I mean, we can, man. just very refreshing.
If you go on YouTube and watch the Guns N' Roses show, just type in Guns N' Roses live at the Ritz from New York from like 87. You'll see Axl wearing this black shirt with the Thin Lizzy logo on it in pink by the second half of the set.
Right.
And I remember seeing that. This is a true story. Seeing him wear that shirt in 1987 when I watched that on MTV was what got me into Thin Lizzy, because Axl was wearing a Thin Lizzy shirt. That's why I'm a fan.
Yeah.
So it's all kind of linked together like a fucking chain. So but if you watch that video, like seriously, like about halfway, because the show's about an hour, it's a kick-ass concert, and it's right before they had gotten big, so there's a lot of people in there, but they hadn't quite caught on yet. But by about the second half of the set, he puts that black with the like I said, hot pink Thin Lizzy logo on a black shirt on. And I was like, Thin Lizzy? And I started looking it up, and I went and bought all their shit and been a fan ever since. So.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is how it happens. You just see these shirts with your favorite rock stars, and this is how you dig deeper and deeper and find the real shit. This is probably how I came over Thin Lizzy too. Like, people wearing their shirts and like, okay, what is that? And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, it's probably a band's favorite, a band that the bands love.
Yeah, man, it fucking kicks ass. John, I can't thank you enough for taking the time to do this today. Kids, pick up John Diva and the Rockets of Love, The Big Easy. Pick up all their stuff. They're fucking amazing. The new album, The Big Easy, comes out March 17th. And John Diva, sir, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I love the band.
Hey, Vince, so much. So much love to you and your podcast. Be safe, be happy, everybody out there. Check out the album and stay true and stay tuned and love hard rock. Just like, it's about love and respect and keeping it in our hearts. Let our heart beat with rock and roll and all the best to you guys.
Cracker Jack timing, Wang. Total concentration. You ready, Jack?
I was born ready.
I don't know how, but they found me. Run for it, Marty! Oh my God. They found me. I don't know how, but they found me. Run for it, Marty!
Doc, take us out.
Wedding, good sir.
Brought a tear to my eye.
I'll be quiet.